It's good to be back. About every year and a half, I return. And I hope that can still happen as long as I have the energy and the juice to do that. And I'm welcome to be here. I'd love to come from San Diego. You know, you've got an exceptional minister right now in Jason Cook. You're very blessed, and you got a vital congregation. The children greeting at the door, you don't know how important that is in the life of our congregations. And then to have KC, whom I think the last time I was here, you just were coming into the congregation. It's a blessing. And Thomas, thank you for welcoming me. And the bots are here. Remember, when I get here at 9 o'clock or whenever I got here, she's right here setting up. And Eleanor, we go way back. Congratulations on your graduation and in your future. There's so much to share, and afterwards I will I'll stay to be a part of the lunch, and I have some books here. My latest book, Growing All the Way to Our Grave, Conscious Aging and Mindful Dying, is here. It's my last book I'm going to write, and so that's available. And I can't, what a moment for me, Dick, to have you honored here. We met one another back in the late 60s. That goes way back, 1969 to 1972, at Neighborhood Church. And, I mean, there's no one more deserving. You embody what hospitality means, welcoming, the open heart, the open mind. And so we honor you, and I honor you very deeply. I mean, it's what a blessing that I could be here on that Sunday, on your Sunday. When we launched our currently stout and vigorous men's fellowship at First Unitarian Church in San Diego, 1983, our objectives were clear. We would be an organization equally committed to being male supportive and pro-feminist and gay affirmative and racially inclusive and intergenerationally sensitive and earth-centered. And 35 years later, the Men's Fellowship is committed to fulfilling those principles in our individual and our communal male lives. We remain devoted to the pursuit of mature masculinity, not toxic masculinity, but mature masculinity, embodying a brother spirit, a revolutionary manifesto, wherein changing men changes the world. We still believe that. We still bet and behave our lives on those principles. And I want to focus this morning on but one of our primary pillars, the imperative of being pro-feminist, upon gender justice in a world that's riddled by and governed by patriarchy. I want to return to a theme that I've spoken to many times over the years. I want to up the moral ante. I want to press hard on why we Unitarian Universalists need to dismantle patriarchy. This sermon comes straightway from my heart, a heart full of humility and hopefulness. It's not my only song, but it's a critical one in the world in which we live today. And it's particularly important, I think, to hear from a white heterosexual elder when so many of our pulpits are promisingly being filled by women. And when I go underground, most all of our pulpits increasingly will be filled by vital and vigorous women. We men must keep coming back to this theme. It's not an easy theme. It's not a pleasant theme. All the way to our graves. Because dismantling patriarchy isn't an ad hoc cause. It's a lifelong commitment. It's a way of being in the world. And when the Me Too movement recedes as a moral prod, and it will, we men must keep on keeping on. We need to muster the same kind of passion for combating patriarchy that we regularly muster for sports and cars and escapades and professional achievement and romance and whatever else captures our loyalties. In battling patriarchy, we will be exhibiting testosterone with heart. But I harbor no illusions. In dismantling a tradition as entrenched as patriarchy, we will endure falling statuary, as well as suffer immense pushback from both genders. Our progressive Unitarian Universalist movement is well known and should be for always tackling the thorniest and most relevant of social challenges, such as immigration justice. Oh, is that major right now? My wife and I were a part of the protest over the weekend in San Diego, so close to the border, where our land is keeping people seeking legitimate and authentic asylum and splitting up families. We're better than that. In white supremacy, in prison reform, and GLBTQ rights, in global warming, and gun control, and gender fluidity. And we must never stop addressing all of these issues. But while confronting hot-button challenges, we dare not forget that the perennial, most intractable culprit is patriarchy. Male domination. It's as if our religion implies sometimes that we've reached the promised land with regard to gender justice. I mean, after all, we passed the necessary resolutions, haven't we? After all, we have more female than male ministers in seminary now. After all, women have made measurable gains in the workplace and in changing family roles. But the stark truth is that far too many women and girls the world over, as well as in our own country, continue to be discriminated against, subjected to violence, denied equal opportunities in education and employment, and excluded from positions of leadership and decision-making. Recently, a poll by the Pew Research Center found that 56% of men and 34% of women believe that sexism is no longer a barrier in this country. Of course, over the last 50 years, overt sexism, like overt racism, has been made less socially acceptable. But sexism is not dead. It's alive and kicking, sneakier and more pernicious than ever. We do not inhabit a post-sexist America. And current public rhetoric and behavior has had an effect of mainstreaming misogyny, just as it is mainstreamed anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim sentiments. And it's not just men getting in on the act. Women also buy into internalized sexism. And sisters, I invite you to regulate your own social and moral behavior, your own issues of appearance and boundaries and accountability. But that's not my male homework assignment, and never will be. My job is to focus upon what my chosen gender has perpetrated due to patriarchy. Believe me, patriarchy produces devastating results for us males too. Emotionally constipated boys, suicidal teenagers, depressed adults, burgeoning violence within and against self and others. The carnage goes on and on. But the radical truth is that in dismantling patriarchy, we will be dismantling the multiple crises from which we males gravely suffer. Patriarchy is a major human obstacle And when boldly addressed, everybody wins. Everybody is freed. Women and children and plants and animals and men. And believe me, any and all deities will be seen rejoicing. Of course, it's positive news that there will soon be a National Women's Museum affiliated with the Smithsonian and centered exclusively on the history of women in the United States. But we need more than the erection of a few statues or museums or the crashing of a bronze ceiling here or there. The ultimate goal is having women and men considered of equal human value and importance in our world, in our country, in our congregations, in our homes, and in our hearts. When as 19th century Unitarian Fore Sister Margaret Fuller, the reading that we shared, mid-1800s, died tragically in a boating accident in the age of 40, a pillar of our Unitarian Transcendentalism alongside Thoreau and Emerson. She said, man and woman may regard one another as brother and sister, able both to appreciate and to prophesy to one another. Nearly 200 years later, we're still scrambling to even come close to resembling her imperative. We must not only confront the outed males, such as Donald Trump and John Conyers, Matt Lauer and Harvey Weinstein, Rob Porter and Bill Cosby. Our male culture is riddled with patriarchy, not merely a few bad apples. And this morning, I'm addressing every male in our land. I'm speaking to every man in this gathered congregation. I'm speaking to myself. For I was, during my first 2 years of parish ministry, a male who acted inappropriately with women. I'm guilty and ashamed of my behavior. In the last 45 years, since Carolyn and I have been married, I have intentionally made my life a dogged, yet imperfect effort to build bridges of gender respect, purposefully dismantling the very patriarchy of which I have been a beneficiary and a stakeholder. And I know that adequate reparations are impossible. I know that reconciliation will never be fully realized during my lifetime. But I also know that I will not let up or turn back until I've gone to my grave. We all know that women have been bravely and boldly joining the Me Too movement with regard to sexual harassment and violation. Some abused men have rightly signed on too, as the abused wrestlers in Ohio State in this past week have signed on too. But I'm asking today for the men in our UU congregations to build a Me Too movement wherein men sign on as violators, harassers, and perpetrators of any form of gender malfeasance. Me Too. Me Too. And more than that, if we Unitarian Universalist brothers are willing to sign on as violators, in some sense, in some way, at some time, then we must also be ready and willing to sign on as reconcilers and repairers, as allies and advocates in dismantling patriarchy. We must launch a Me Too movement for gender justice. That's the real men's work. That's our main male agenda. To sustain in every major or minor encounter with every girl or woman we meet day in and day out. It's all about respect. It's all about respect. When the men and women in our Building Bridges work at First Church in San Diego were asked, what constituted the most important principle for empowering male-female alliance. Both genders invariably describe one version or another of respect. Give me respect. And we can build just about anything we want to together. But without mutual respect, all the enthusiasm, all the strategies, all the platitudes, all the love won't save us from intentionally or unintentionally harming one another. Respect, or what Buddhism calls right relationship, requires persistence and hard work, unmarked by the dazzle and spark of courtship. Respect remains the bread and butter value of stubborn women and men willing to roll up our sleeves, clear the ground, lay the foundations, establish the piers, and then build, stride, and maintain the bridge called respect. Lamentably, respect is among the least appreciated and practiced of virtues between the sexes across the globe. We major in romance. Clumsily, but we major in it. We don't even minor in respect. The rubber of gender equality hits the road when women and men can face one another and honestly inquire, how is it going with you? Really going. I want to hear what pains or scares you that I might in turn tell you about my hurts and my fears. What makes you happy that I might also speak of my joys? And what do you need from me in order to be a fully respected and dignified creation? And respectful men are unabashedly willing to be pro-feminist men. I often hear a Unitarian Universalist male comrades saying, well, I've got my own issues and my own bruises. Plus, I don't have the energy or time to be political. I hear you and I offer two plain responses. First, I enduringly care about the personal plight of my Unitarian Universalist brothers. I've given the bulk of my adult life to supporting men and will continue to do so. And I often say the best gift you will ever give to the women and children in your life as a man is to become a part of a supportive, trustworthy men's group. I applaud the process of men venting our own festering agonies and woes. You know why? Because wounded animals are the most dangerous. But being wounded is only a part of our story. We men are also wounders. And we need to answer for that. We need to heed the unbearable pain and terror that women and children feel living in a world in which 1 in 4 women will be raped and 1 in 6 children is the victim of sexual abuse. As the saying goes, men are afraid of being laughed at. Women are afraid of being killed. Secondly, we're incorrigibly social animals. So we men can ill afford to smugly gaze at our navels without becoming social contributors. Mature masculinity requires that we heal both the body politic as well as the body personal. In the authentic religious life, the life I'm pursuing, the life we quest as Unitarian Universalists, is that the private and the public are interwoven. As my friend Jocko says, we are both Andeans. Body politic and body personal. And as a man, I won't restore my humanity simply by reclaiming my emotions. Terribly important. Making peace with my father. Terribly important. And becoming more intimate with other men. Go to it. The only way to fully restore our lost male humanity and heal the fractured earth is through working for justice, benefiting more than just our white, heterosexual, able-bodied, privileged male selves. Working for a justice that will serve the disenfranchised entities, the least, and the lost, and the last of our world. What our pro-feminist principle is saying is simply, men, we invite you to hear women's anxiety and rage without commenting. Don't be paralyzed by guilt. Don't whine or pummel yourselves. Don't defend or retaliate. Don't even take women's anger personally. Just listen, long and hard, to their stories. And then choose every minute of every day to become a more respectful man, starting today at the reception. Patriarchy is the culprit and the foe of authentic gender justice. And in fact, the various inequities that riddle and define our contemporary world, white supremacy and imperialism and gun violence and poverty and ageism and environmental degradation and speciesism, they're all based on the central feature of patriarchy, which is an attempt to make the domination, subordination dynamic appear to be normal and the inevitable feature of human society. Clearly, the gun violence tragedies throughout America, which keep going on and on and on, vividly exemplify patriarchy, the domination-subordination dynamic at its worst. Parkland, Florida. Another deranged, angry, white adult male willfully shoots up a school. Folks, women suffer from mental illness too. Yet 98% of mass shootings in America are done by men. And the only way the seemingly powerless male could dominate was to retaliate, was to use the biggest and baddest weapon available to dominate via destruction of human life. And to make matters worse, while our nation was initially grieving, perhaps you missed it. It was easy to miss. The House quietly passes a bill to gut the Americans with Disabilities Act, adding shame to sorrow. Another example of the dominant subordinate dynamic of patriarchy gone amok. And yet on the other hand, look at all the young women and men who are working nonstop to combat gun violence in the Never Again movement. I could turn the world over to them when I go. For them, it's not a task force. It's a way of being in the world from here on out. A choice you and I have to make every day of our lives for as long as we have. Patriarchal society, pure and simple, worships and promotes gender domination, be it harassment, rape, sexual assault, and the attack on women's health by removing basic coverage, cutting maternity care, sharply limiting reproductive rights, and now who will be on the Supreme Court? So please listen in. Listen hard, my brothers. I'm not interested in blaming or shaming my gender. God knows I don't have the time or energy for that. Follow me around. That's not who I am. All I'm doing is calling us to accountability. I'm calling for a revolutionary manifesto and behavior. We made patriarchy possible, but that does not mean that patriarchy is immutable. In the 200,000 years of the species Homo sapiens, patriarchy accounts for less than 5% of our evolutionary history. There was a pre-patriarchal period in human evolution. There can be a post-patriarchal one as well. But it will take the boldest and the bravest work we men have ever done. I hear brothers still saying, but Tom, I'm essentially clean. I'm essentially clean with respect to sexism, so you're probably not talking about me. And I say, okay, good for you, brother. And all you got to do is stay clean and clear all remaining days, nights of your life. Stay clear and clean, but never forget you belong to a gender that isn't clear and clean. And you owe the rest of us men your best example and full support. For mature men, atone with specific daughters and wives and sisters and work associates and students and strangers, as well as confront underlying transgenerational and systemic wrongs. Mature men are both personal and public in displaying moral character. Remember, changing men will change the world. And the ultimate male power is to say no to violence, is to say no to violation of personhood and property. I want to close with raising boys toward mature manhood. A good friend of mine is a major leader in the movement of working with young boys, teenage boys in particular, and helping them make brave and mature decisions. Our children, particularly our young boys, if you haven't noticed, are often in trouble. Maybe not in your home. Blessed be. Maybe not in your neighborhood or your schools. Blessed be. But troubled, depressed, angry, vengeful boys and teenagers exist in our world. And we got to do better by them. As the African proverb puts it, if our young are not initiated into the village, they will burn it down to feel the heat. Our young boys and teenagers are often unmotivated, underachieving, and turning to bullying and violence and depression and gangs. And moreover, in a recent survey of boys in the eighth grade revealed that 90% of them see their primary goal in life as what? Making lots of money. In over a million high schools, only 19% of our teenage boys feel valued by their society. And furthermore, every day, three boys commit suicide. Higher among GLBTQ kids. We got to do better by our youth. And as I put it, if there's not a young person, and I'm talking to the males among us, a young boy, a teenage boy in your life that doesn't belong to your family, that's beautiful. I'm an active grandfather. Blessed both ways in so many fashions, beyond deserving. But there need to be in my life and in your life boys that don't belong to your home and your household and your history. So last week I was at the Pliego Sanchez Bryan's graduation from a high school downtown in San Diego. I've been a part of their family for 7 years. I'm not noble. I'm just paying my rent. As a 77-year-old. It's not just that teens have gone bad in today's world. No, the grievous fault lies with adult males. We need to provide them with ceremonial markings far deeper and safer and richer than merely a first drink or a first sexual encounter or garnering a driver's license or even voting. We need to help our adolescent boys know that with every privilege, there is a corresponding responsibility. They need meaningful heart-to-heart intergenerational exchanges. With the elders and crones in our world. Folks, I'm not an optimist. I used to be more of one. And I'm an incurable romantic. Check out the songs I sing every afternoon. I believe that racism and homophobia and classism and sexism are here to stay. But neither am I a pessimist who cynically throws in the towel. No, I've done my share. I'll soon be out of here. Let the others do it. I'm a hopeful person in my better moments. That is someone who knows that my triumphs may be small, but one who remains fiercely loyal to the cause, knowing that upon occasion my talk and my walk will grow some corn. So my dearly beloved Unitarian Universalist brothers and sisters, let us pursue progress, not perfection, ever achieving personal and public approximations, inching closer toward gender justice. Let us recognize our privilege, confess our blunders, our omissions and abuse, and become respectful carriers of a revolutionary manifesto. And we will fumble, and we will falter along the path, but let us never turn back. Gonna keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back.